Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon. Well, this morning is the third message about prayer and fasting. We're in the season of prayer and fasting. Next week, as Shauna said, we're having our prayer and praise service. We're going to break the fast. In fact, I'd like to invite you to breakfast next week. Not the eating kind in the morning, the eating kind in the afternoon. Break fast. I'd like to invite you to fast. If you haven't fasted yet or whatever you're choosing to fast in this season, I'd like to invite you to not eat breakfast next Sunday. If you're able to, medically, all of that, if you're able to not have breakfast next Sunday morning, we will have our prayer and praise service, and then we will break the fast together. We have a break fast together. You are old enough to know if you have medical things, diabetes, whatever it is that would prevent you from doing that. Just use wisdom. But next week, for as many who are as able, that we would not have breakfast. We would come together, have our service, break the fast together. Luke chapter 18 is where we're going to start. I want to talk to you this morning about persistent prayer. We drove to church this morning. Shelley, good morning. Good morning. I was saying to Audrey that this is just seemed like such an intense time of prayer and fasting. She was saying to me, spiritual, just an awareness of such spiritual warfare. I don't know if you have noticed that as well, but man, there's a fight on our hands. On Wednesday, I sent out a push notification, if you have our Foursquare app or our church app, and quoted from Ephesians chapter 6 about putting on God's armor and the battle that we're in. I was encouraged as our U.S. President Randy Remington as well talked about that verse, and we posted that on our Facebook site. And just there's a battle going on, and I want to talk to you this morning about persistent prayer. Jesus talked about persistent prayer, and Luke chapter 18 is where we're going to be. I have been reading a journal of a man named George Mueller, speaking of Europe, and just if you ever get a chance to read George Mueller's journal, he did not intend to focus on orphanages in the 1800s. He intended on focusing on proving that God is faithful and answers prayer. And the venue which he relied on the Lord was establishing orphanages. It's an amazing story. I've been so encouraged about persistent and faithful prayer. George Mueller. But Jesus talks about persistent prayer, and there is a woman, a widow, who needs justice. She approaches a judge, and this is the story that Jesus taught, that we always ought to pray and never lose heart, never give up, never stop praying. Luke 18, verse 1 says this. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There's a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. And a widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." And the judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I do not fear God or care about people. But this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who will cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly." And then Jesus says this, "But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith?" Or will he find faith on the earth? God is not like this unjust judge. That's the point of the story. It's not a comparison, it's a contrast. God is not like that, who doesn't care about people and just answers their requests to shut them up. That's not the God that we serve. Jesus tells us that God will answer his chosen ones. And in fact, he says essentially he won't drag his feet about it. He will render justice quickly. He will render justice speedily for this woman. And then Jesus is so interesting that right here, it's after the Lord's Prayer, it says story tells. He talks about persistent faith, about persistent prayer, about how we ought to always pray and never give up. Last week we talked about committing our ways to the Lord, delighting ourselves in the Lord, and looked at that phrase, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit our ways to the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass. The process of time that God uses, that everything's not instantaneous. By the time you get to the second drive-through ready, it's not ready. It's just there is a process of time. Prayer over time, it requires endurance. We're going to look at another story in Luke chapter 11. If you back up in your Bibles or you're following along the screen or the app, Jesus tells a very similar story about a guy who needs some bread, goes over to his friend's house at midnight. And this is it in Luke 11, verse 5. It says this, Jesus speaking again, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing set before him, and he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are in bed with me. When I read that, I always think of the original Willy Wonka story where, you know, everybody's laying sideways. My children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he's his friend, yet because of persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Just go away. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. For to everyone who asks, and he who seeks finds. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Knock, and keep on knocking, and it will be opened. Seek, and keep on seeking, and you will find. Ask, and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Keep on praying. This is what it said in the first parable, in the first story, that we always ought to pray and never give up. Why do you think Jesus would say that? I would think because there's a temptation to give up. Because when we're not seeing the answers, when it's taking so long, to never give up. Listen to what? There's a number of verses that just speak specifically to enduring prayer, persistent prayer. One of them is in Romans where it says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, continue steadfast in prayer. Continue steadfast in prayer. Thessalonians will say, pray without ceasing. Ephesians will say at the end of the passage that talks about the spiritual warfare, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. It's this endurance, it's this perseverance, it's this effort, it's this overtime of praying. Don't stop. Colossians will say, I'm going to read the whole passage, Colossians 2 through 4. In chapter 4, it says this, continue earnestly in prayer. Earnestly in prayer. Continue. Don't stop. Being vigilant in it. With thanksgiving, meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Paul's saying, continue to pray for it, for us, for me. Don't give up. All these verses point to perseverance in prayer. Don't give up. Keep on praying. I wonder if there will ever be the question from the Lord, not with condemnation, but I wonder if there would be a moment where he might say to me, maybe he says it even now, why did you quit praying? Why did you stop praying? As if you thought your prayers weren't being heard or wouldn't be answered or weren't making a difference. You were so close. Some of you may know the name, Brian, I think you do. Victor Borge. Victor Borge is an amazing pianist and comedian. And at one point, I listened to him talk about the fictional story about his dad. His dad, he said, was a soda pop inventor. And he said that he created, manufactured one up. And then he made two up. He made three up. He made four up. He made five up. He made six up. And then he died. And he died never knowing how close he was. And why did you stop? Why did you stop? You were so close. I wonder how many times we were so close. Somehow the creator of the universe has chosen to partner with us. He has chosen to partner with us and invites us and calls us to prayer. And much depends on us praying. Much depends on our prayers. It is not all up to us, but it is up to us to pray. And it is not all up to our prayers, but it is up to us to pray. I'm going to say that again, those things. It is not all up to us, but it is up to us to pray. And it is not all up to our prayers, but it is up to us to pray. And our asking can't be in vain repetition. When I talk about continue to pray and pray, it's not just using the same words on autopilot. The repetitiveness of our prayers, that is not the point. It's not the point of being irritating like the widow or like the friend who is not just persistent, who is pestering. We're not heard because we recite just the right words over and over, like some kind of incantation, or the length of our prayers, as if by somehow, and Jesus will even speak to this, as if like the Pharisees, they think they will be heard because of their many words. That's not what this is talking about. That's not what persistent prayer is. Our prayers have to do with pressing in, with believing, with exercising our faith, about trusting and drawing near, trusting God and drawing near to God, about aligning our situation with the word and the will of God. See, the kingdom power and reign, his kingdom power and reign is available, but it is not automatic. And so we partner with the sovereign God in prayer to see his kingdom come and his will be done. Jesus taught us to pray that. Pray this. Pray his kingdom come. And not just his ambiguous kingdom, but pray his kingdom come in this situation. His will be done in this situation. As we come before the Lord and we continue to pray, God, let your kingdom come here. Let your kingdom come in my family. Let your kingdom reign come in my resources, in my finances. Let your kingdom come in my relationships. Let your kingdom come in my workplace. Let your will be done in my school. I am going to walk with God. And we pray his kingdom come, his will be done. His kingdom is available. His kingdom reign is available, but it's just not automatic. And one of the things that we do when we pray repetitively, I do this and undoubtedly you do as well, we pray in the Spirit. We pray in our heavenly language. We don't, even when we come to the places where we don't know what to pray, Scripture even addresses that. We don't know what to pray or how we ought. So the Holy Spirit will help us. And so we begin to pray in our heavenly prayer language. And as we do, our heart and our spirit is crying out to God, and God gives us revelation about what to pray for. I remember years ago now, and I was involved in our city in a high school ministry called Reach Out Campus Ministries. I think we were on 17 high schools in our city, and I was a part of overseeing the district and being involved in campuses. And I remember having a prayer meeting at our church one night. And as we're praying for our high schools, and I think I was praying specifically for the one that I graduated, I was praying for Churchill. I kept hearing this phrase, the spirit of despondency. Pray against a spirit of despondency. It's probably 19 years old. I had no idea what the word despondent meant. And it was just pray specifically against a spirit of despondency. This is what despondency means: a state of being in low spirits caused by loss of hope or courage. 57, I still needed to read what it means. But this is it. A state of being in low spirits caused by a loss of hope or courage. And that's sometimes how the Holy Spirit leads us. Here's what you need to pray against or stand against. And I don't know why the word, and I just couldn't pray about a loss of hope or courage, but just that sense of God reveals things, and we pray into them. So we're praying in the Spirit. Paul, the apostle, attempted to go to Asia to preach the gospel. And they were prevented from doing so by the Holy Spirit. Listen to this passage. Acts 16 says this. Now when they had gone through Perga and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Can you imagine, as we're here praying for John, the Holy Spirit forbids him to go to Germany to preach the gospel? Like, comes up to roadblocks and roadblocks, and you're not able to go preach the gospel in the prison in Tijuana. The Holy Spirit won't let you. Yeah, we'd start standing against that. But it was the Holy Spirit. And then we discover the Macedonian call and directing the Lord. But it was preventing him from preaching the gospel. And it says in Paul writes to those in Thessalonica, he says this in 1 Thessalonians, but we, brethren, having been taken away from you a short time in presence, not in heart, we can't be with you, but our heart's still with you guys, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and time again. But Satan hindered us. I wanted to go and be with you in Thessalonica, but Satan hindered us. The Holy Spirit prevented us, forbid us. Satan hindered us. As we pray, we need to be able to determine what's the voice of God's and what's the enemy in our lives. Is it a closed door or is it a roadblock? Because we approach those differently. And so we pray. And it's not enough just to be biblically literate, to know the Bible, because Paul knew the Bible. For Pete's sake, he was writing it. But, and it's God's heart that people preach the gospel. It's not that God didn't care about people in Asia, but the problem wasn't biblical knowledge. We need to be led by His Spirit. Biblically, absolutely. But that wasn't the problem. The problem was discovering the path of God for him, for that season, for that moment. Phyllis Lita, spiritual warfare is very real. As I started off just this message talking about Audrey and our conversation, her articulating, there's such a spiritual battle. She said maybe it's because we're fasting in prayer that we're just more aware of it right now. But the spiritual warfare is very real. And a war is made up of battles. And spiritual battles are not just always won in a moment. That's why we need endurance, we need perseverance, and we need persistence in our prayers. There's so much in Scripture about the heavenly realm, about angels and the demonic. Ephesians 6 tells us this. He's in 6 verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles, the schemes, the blueprints, the trickery of the devil. We not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. This is where our battle is. If there's a spiritual battle, we need spiritual weapons. Corinthians will tell us, for though we walk in the flesh, in these physical bodies, we do not war according to the flesh. It's not by getting a gun or a knife or a cannon. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. They're powerful. I'm going to talk about the power of God. I'm going to talk about situations changing. Talk about shaping things. They're mighty in God. For the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, and taking every thought into captive to the obedience of Christ. When we talk about the angelic realm and the demonic realm, people in the Old Testament and the New Testament regularly saw angels. Right from the very beginning, we see in the Garden of Eden an angel stationed at the entrance to Eden, guarding. We see angels appearing to Elisha and to Elijah, to David and Zechariah. Jacob, fleeing from his brother, meets angels and again meets angels. There's angels that are hanging out in a lion's den. an angel. Ezekiel talks and sees angels. One angel kills 185,000 trained men of war. In the New Testament, we see Gabriel announcing the good news to Zacharias and to Mary. We see angels appearing in dreams. We see the presence of angels at the announcement of the birth of Christ, at Gethsemane with Jesus. We see angels at the resurrection and at the ascension. We see an angel striking Herod and him dying, a gruesome death. We see angels ministering to Jesus. We see angels opening the doors of prison and letting the apostles out. We see Jesus referring and saying, I could call 12 legions. I could have legions of angels. My Father would deliver me. We see an angel, it seems literally dragging Peter out of prison, waking him up, opening the doors of the prison. We see an angel speaking to Cornelius saying, go send for Peter. We see an angel appearing to Paul just before he's in the shipwreck, giving the word of the Lord. We see angels throughout Scripture. In the book of Revelation, over and over and over again, we see angels. In fact, it's amazing. At the end of this age, when we see Satan thrown into a pit, God doesn't even do it himself. He sends an angel to do it. It's just, it's amazing. I can't be bothered. It sends an angel to throw Satan into the pit. There are many more times when angels are mentioned in Scripture, but there's also reference to the demonic. Very aware of the demonic realm. In fact, Jesus would be accused of having a demon. As he starts his ministry after his baptism, we see him in the synagogue. Man, a demon-possessed man cries out. Tonight we're going to talk about, in the book, I appreciate After Doubt, A.J. Swoboda talks about how the demons had good theology. They had good theology. You are the Son of God. They were accurate. We see in Jesus, the man in the tombs of the Gadarenes, how Jesus cast the demons out of him, and such a transformation takes place where he's sitting clothed in his right mind. We see a boy having a seizure. Regularly, it is not just a physical thing taking place. It's of a demonic influence. And that's that place where the disciples couldn't help him at all or the dad at all. And Jesus said this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Many times people are possessed by evil spirits. He'll talk about that. And that word possession means held. They are held. They were possessed. They're held. And how Jesus, in an instant, in a word, sets them free. Jesus taught about demons. He said and talked about how Satan is not divided. Satan's not going to cast out Satan, otherwise the house divided will not stand. He'll talk about binding a strong man, and when you have to be stronger than the strong man, you bind him who is protecting his goods. Then he talks about cleaning the house, but how you need to then close the door so there's no access to the demonic again. And then there's this thing that weaves back and forth about demonic and not demonic. There's a woman who has been bound Jesus said, whom Satan has bound for these 18 years, that she's hunched over. And it says that she has a spirit of infirmity, a spirit of infirmity. And Jesus casts out the spirit and sets her free. She who was oppressed, bound by Satan for 18 years. But when Jesus comes to the man at the pool of Bethesda, it says that he had an infirmity. And when Jesus heals him, it's not a spirit, it is a physical affliction. And so it's so important that we understand that not everything is a demon and not everything isn't. That's where we pray and we need God to speak to us. Having our ears open. It's the same word, that infirmity. There was a spirit of an infirmity on this woman. There was just an infirmity with this man at the pool of Bethesda. Paul will write to the young pastor Timothy and say, take a little wine for your stomach's sake and for your frequent infirmities. He didn't say, I'm just praying for you. But it was this frequent infirmities. And nothing, it wasn't demonic. It wasn't spiritual. You get sick a lot. Here's something that will help. So sometimes things are physical, sometimes things are emotional, sometimes things are mental, sometimes things are chemical, and sometimes things are demonic. And the Bible talks about angels and demons and their influence in our lives. Not everything is demonic and not everything isn't. So we need to pray, and we need to persist in prayer with ears and eyes wide open how to pray. Pray in your heavenly language. It helps as you seek understanding. Elijah prayed. It's an amazing story in the Old Testament how Elijah, almost before he says amen, fire comes from heaven and consumes the altar and the water and the offering with the prophets of Baal on Carmel Mountain. And then he has to pray seven times for rain to appear. Sometimes God answers instantly, and other times there's a process. Jesus had to pray. It shows that he prayed a couple times for someone to receive their complete healing. And Paul would pray at least three times for a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan that was sent to buffet him, to be removed. And Jesus answered and said, "My grace is sufficient for you." So it's not, we don't take our will and our, just impose ours. We look for God's will to be interjected into our path and our world. Daniel, when he prayed, he prayed for 3 weeks. He fasted in prayer. And I don't know if that's where the global church gets the 3 week fasting or not. But we choose that right now, 21 days of prayer and fasting. But an angel will appear to Daniel and say, from the first day you prayed for understanding, your prayer was heard. And in Daniel, it talks about, well, maybe we'll read it. How are we doing? Yeah. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, it says, the angel appeared to him. It says, "Then he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard.'" From the first day, your words were heard. "I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I have been left alone there with the kings of Persia." It's this revelation of a spiritual battle that takes place. And sometimes we need that confidence and assurance. Didi, from the first time you prayed, your prayer was heard. Esther, from the first time you prayed, your prayer was heard. But sometimes it just takes time. And it's not just the passage of time. There's spiritual warfare that we engage in. And we pray and partner with the sovereign God. We know that the enemy roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And it says, therefore, be vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. And that's standing, but it's also praying. Persistent in prayer. Let me close with this. We're going to pray. Jesus taught us that we should always pray and never give up. It, however, is not the power of prayer. It's the power of the one we're praying to. If it was just about the power of prayer, the prophets of Baal would have won. 450-1. It's not about just the power of prayer. It's the power of prayer in the one we are praying to. Ah, Lord God, there is nothing too difficult for you. Nothing is impossible with God. So if I can encourage you, continue this last week of our prayer and fasting. If you haven't seen breakthrough, if you haven't understood, if God hasn't revealed to you, do not give up. This is your six up moment. We just don't know how close we are. We continue to pray and never give up, never lose hope. Let's pray, and then Pastor Chris is going to come. Lord, the disciples asked you to teach them to pray, and you did. And this morning, we ask you to teach us to pray. We don't want to just learn about prayer or hear about prayer or know there are all kinds of verses about prayer. We pray that you would actually teach us to pray and that we would never give up. We pray you'd lead us and you'd speak to us and you'd shape us. Jesus, when you talked about the temple, you said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." And now that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, may our lives be lives of prayer. May my house, may this house, may my life be a house of prayer. In Jesus' name we pray.
You know how Pastor Barry has just exhorted us to not give up, to pursue. God has modeled that from before we were even being formed in our mother's womb. God has pursued us. God has made paths for us to walk until we come to the place where we recognize there is His voice calling us. We see that in Psalm 23. And we take that psalm for those of us who've already accepted Jesus as the Lord of our life. And in that psalm shows us that God guides us and that He prepares a feast for us in the presence of our enemies, and that surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue us. That is, pursuement there is such an eagerness. With haste, God calls us, pursues us, and sets a table before us. And you know the wonderful news is the table is big. There's always room for one more and one more and one more. And if you think, oh, Pastor, if you're hearing this message and you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you think, oh, but I'm not a Christian, how can there be room at the table for me? Let me take you to the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. And there is a verse in Revelation 3 that says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus invites us to the table and He wants to share a meal, have relationship with us. And I was thinking before we pray this prayer, if you think, oh, I might do that tomorrow. No, today is your opportunity. Before the service, someone walked in the door. And you know, Shauna and I were able to say to this precious person, would you, right here, right now? I know we have a limited time to talk with you, but right now, would you like to accept Jesus? And guess what? We were not at a huge table, we were on a counter. But this precious one said yes. And that invitation, if you're hearing this online or you're in this room, and maybe you've just been snacking at the table, just grabbing something and then just running away. But you know what? Jesus wants us to sit with Him at the table, to really enjoy being with Him in His presence, sharing together. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. If you have never sat at the table with Jesus and started that relationship with Him, today is the day. This moment is the time. And if you've been a snacker, if you want to say, oh, I think I need to sit with Jesus some more, you can say this prayer as well, because I'm going to say it. When I read the words, I'm going to mean them, because I want to say thank you again and again that Jesus said, Chris, this table is set for you. I died for you. I've given you salvation. So would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you would pay the penalty for my sin by dying on the cross in my place. I believe you rose to life again, and now offer me a new life with you. I ask you to forgive me for my sin and cleanse me from the inside out. I invite you into every area of my life as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live for you all the days of my life. Thank you for forgiving me, and thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we pray for those of us who said this prayer again, that you would just help us linger long at the table with you. We pray for those who said this prayer for the first time today, Father, that the seat at the table would just become so precious to them, that you would watch over this new life with all diligence, because you love us. You led these precious ones to this moment and this time that was of your will and your leading. You are good and you are faithful, and we do love you and praise you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' precious, precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.